percolate on a particular mix of odd and inspiring news headlines in Wendy's Coffee House. Newsmakers with a penchant for the unknown, unexplained, and unusual share their experiences with UFOs, ghost encounters, near-death experiences, and more for your own unique blend of Wendy's Coffee House Curious.
Dulcet breathing sounds of Darth Vader. Oh, yeah, he's back. He's back. And we had to wait through all the Olympic swimming to find out how good this trailer was going to be. Hi there, Wendy's Coffee House. Yeah, I've got Starbucks this morning. It was convenient, it's local, and I happen to like it, okay? There you go. Wendy's Coffee House. Perfection. You can do tea, whatever. I do that too. Green tea last night. But this morning, that wake-up call was Starbucks, Darth Vader. We're all waiting. They broadcast it, Thursday night, and that was the one commercial break everybody was enjoying, because most of the time you're wanting to see the action. I was like, no commercials. However, there have been some really fun commercials. I like the one where the dogs do the synchronized swimming routine. I can't remember what insurance company it's for, but it works. A lot of Star Wars fans then took to Twitter to say, oh yeah, we're there. So we're looking for Rogue One, the trailer. And this is, if you haven't seen it yet, it's worth it. Check it out, because it really... You feel the force. And what they say, though, about this one is there's a lot less force in this particular episode. It's set immediately before episode 4, A New Hope, that one. Felicity Jones, she's a semi-reformed bandit, all right? Whatever the deal is with this right now, it's coming on strong. I guess there were some, like, who's going to doubt? But anyway, so Twitter loved it. I loved it. Especially the Darth. That's just like, oh, he's back. What's he going to do? Perseids, have you been watching this? This is one of my favorite times of the year. And one of these quirky things that when you see it, it's just that, wow. And this year, it's supposed to be the strongest display in 7 years. So if you haven't had a chance, this morning I stepped out at 4:45 thinking, okay, there's the stars. I'm in the middle of the city. I'm not going to see anything, but I'm going to look anyway. Because there just might be, and zoom, right across, like, yay! That was that wonderful Perseid moment. Okay, well, it maybe isn't that special for you, but if it is, you can see it, and it's happening now. If you don't have a place where you can see it, too bright, too light, whatever, NASA is streaming it, okay? So if you haven't had a chance, just check it out. The NASA stream, I guess, 10 p.m. East, 10 p.m., so 9 o'clock tonight. And they're continuing to stream. So, Percy, it's my favorite time of the year. The one reason to look up. Another reason to look up, I should say. The UFO stuff. In the Daily Mail, they were the two that are kind of highlighted. In Paris, you can see the video here. I'll post these. Wendy'sCoffeeHouse.com. I'll post them later. Okay, so you can see what I'm talking about. Because the visual with these makes it pretty special. They saw the bright red orb over Paris. Fortunately, yes, this time they are equipped. These two, they happen to have either a cell phone or camera or something with them where they take a picture, because that's always the biggest thing that people complain about. Where is the footage? Want to see what it looked like. So they've got it. They look up. There's red light. It's hovering in the sky. They get the camera out, zoom in on it, and there it is. You can see it's something weird, and it's just kind of stationary. It's probably one of those inflatable balloon things. But anyway, it's as soon as they get it and they've got it focused, it's gone. Well, that's odd. So that's interesting. And then you can see it best UFO sightings. There's a YouTube page. And they show a lot of good stuff. And, you know, some of this, you have to be really discerning as to whether it's been manufactured. They released some more stuff on that one that we talked about last week, the UFO over St. Louis. And it looks like it's a drone. Even, you know, from the beginning, it had that drone effect. But that one, so there's, you know, more confirmation that that's probably a drone. And then Mail Online, they have this other video that's really fabulous. It's luminous, and they saw it. It's like a ball of bright light, and it glows, and it's gliding over this field in Siberia. And you can hear her, one of the people in the background says, "Get away, hide!" And somebody else says, what is it? Ooh, I love that because that's the Travis Walton thing. All of his buddies get in the vehicle and go, oh no, we're leaving. And he goes, well, I want to go see what it is. Maybe I can get a better look. Poof. Anyway, and his stuff, I don't have. He's one I need to talk to because he's changed his story and added more to the story that's even more fascinating than what you might have seen in the movie. And it says, you know, the movie they did a great job, but there were some things that they kind of played up or downplayed, and the real story has yet to be told. Unfortunately, he's up to the telling. Anyway, when you see this film, get back to this with the film and the shiny object on it. It is really very captivating. And they say basically what this is ball lightning. So if you haven't seen ball lightning, it's worth a look because it's really spectacular. And it would be if you're out there in the middle of, you know, a field somewhere and this all of a sudden came your way, it would make you want to look the other direction. My guest today, speaking of things that are fantastic, unprovable, belief, you know, just beyond belief, is Doug Hayes. And Doug Hayes, the ER doc, said about him, short of a fatality, it was the worst injury he'd ever seen. Massive three-level spinal cord contusion, complete quadriplegia, deep cord syndrome. That's pretty technical, okay? Basically saying coin flip whether he was going to walk. What did Doug say? I will quote, Doc, you've no idea who you're dealing with. Okay, this is one of these real-life miracles, but it isn't over, and it continues. The book, The Touch, we're going to have that with Doug Hayes in a few minutes. In the meantime, though, a couple of other cool notes. Over the week, we had a wonderful rescue. This is about the flight attendant. She's got a trip back and forth from Germany, her hometown, Argentina, where she works. She walked around Buenos Aires, and this dog kind of followed her. So at that point, she was by the hotel, and she fed him, and they played a little bit. And then she tried to take a circuitous route back to the hotel so the dog wouldn't follow her. Didn't work. So from then on, when she would come into town, the dog would show up. Amazingly enough, she sent it to a rescue group, and the dog got away from the rescue group, and the next time she showed up, there was the dog at the hotel. That was what sealed the deal. The dog's like, you know what? You humans are just dense. What this dog is doing is pretty phenomenal. So they're now reunited. And again, I'll post these stories on wendyscoffeehouse.com. Okay, so got to get to Doug. This is a fabulous story. And so, you know, just one more thought here, that rogue thing.
There is a 97.6% chance of failure.
He means well.
Failure is not an option. Wendy's Coffee House, Doug Hayes next.
Kansas City's severe weather radio station, KCMO.
Ready for a corny adventure in Weston? At the Farmer's House Market Corn Fest, August 13th, you can eat corn, count corn, and toss corn. Along with the duck races and delicious barbecue, there's corny food and entertainment. The fun continues with Second Saturday in downtown Weston at the Main Street Galleria Dinner Theater's performance of Mazzarella, a comedy featuring the ongoing saga of Maisie and her witness protection misadventures. Visit the WestonMo.com event calendar or download the new Weston mobile app for details.
When a nightlight speaks and only you can understand it, do you listen? Or pretend that your imagination is merely playing tricks? Talking to Nightlights is a revitalizing spiritual guide that follows a woman's inspirational journey to learn the power that can be harnessed by losing fear and suspending disbelief. Available now on Kindle and paperback at Amazon.com.
Stop being drained by energy vampires. A full energy audit from Eric's Energy will expose the pesky problems plaguing your home. Weatherization, insulation, and other energy-saving technologies installed by experienced, reliable technicians will drive a stake through the heart of what's tormenting you. Call 816-537-5100 or visit us at ericsenergy.com. 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 Garlic optional.
At New Horizon Ranch, we believe that every child is capable of greatness. Over the last 10 years, unique programs, dedicated volunteers, and horse partners have helped children and adults of all ages improve physical strength, relational, and cognitive skills. Sometimes it's reading to our miniature horses, and sometimes it's riding. But it's always therapeutic and educational. Learn more about what we do and how you can get involved at newhorizonranch.org.
Give a gift that helps feed a city. The Giving Grove helps communities grow, harvest, and share healthy food by planting fruit trees, nuts, and berries at local Kansas City schools, churches, and in low-income underserved neighborhoods. To date, the Giving Grove has planted nearly 1,500 fruit and nut trees, which will provide over 180 tons of fresh fruit each year over the life of these trees. You can help by planting a tree. A donation of $50 pays for the tree, supplies, and community education needed for caring of the trees. Visit givinggrove.org to donate your tree.
Unchain, unwind at Rico's for lunch. Enjoy classic, tasteful Italian cuisine in a unique hideaway at the southeast quarter of College in Quivira. Ask about our daily lunch specials or enjoy a wood-fired pizza with a specialty salad. Our delicious lunch menu is complemented by a global wine selection, including 25 varietals served by the glass. Full menu featured at ricoskc.com. Join us for lunch weekdays at Rico's.
Next time on Wendy's Coffee House, when the horses whisper, what do readers say? 5 stars. Great. Interesting. Even fascinating, as I hope it can be true. Another 5 stars. A must read by all horsemen and everyone. And 5 stars again. A marvelous, profound read, whether you love horses or not. Dr. Rosalind Byrd fell off a horse, and then she could hear them. How does that work? Let's hear her story next time on Wendy's Coffee House. You can follow along on the blog at wendyscoffeehouse.com.
Relax and enjoy a peaceful small-town summer day in historic Weston. Stroll the streets, listen to music, and explore one-of-a-kind shops with handmade goods crafted by local Weston artists. Hungry? Thirsty? You'll find everything you need, from comfort food to four-star dining. Pubs and pizza, homemade bread and pie. Summers are made for fun in Weston. Check out westonmo.com for our special events calendar.
Kansas City's most stimulating talk, KCMO.
Hi there, Wendy's Coffee House. Hope you're having a good morning. Yeah, like I said, the Percy kids are out there. It's great. Catch it overnight if you can. I've got a really dynamic guest this morning, and the book is called The Touch. Just a little bit of a preview. If you saw that Chicken Soup for the Soul Book of Miracles, Miracle on the Mountain, that's what this is from. This experience is an absolutely incredible, incredible story. Transformational healing at the deepest level, at the core. But the thing that came after that was even more fascinating, because it wasn't just the healing. It then became something about the touch. So if you read this book, this isn't about just, you know, something that's out there. It's something that's inside that we can all connect to. Doug, thank you, 4 a.m. your time. I appreciate that, okay?
Good morning. Yeah, I appreciate it too, Wendy.
Okay, well, maybe you get to see the Perseids longer out there where you are, okay?
It's say that again?
The Perseid meteor shower right now. It's going on, so, you know.
Oh, wow, yeah. No, I watched it last night. It's just amazing.
Yeah. Oh, well, it's just, there's an energy that comes with all this stuff that I think is so fabulous, and your story is so fantastic. I want you to give us a preview of what happened. You're an expert level skier. You've been searching the rescue, the whole nine yards. You know what you're doing, and you find yourself in a predicament.
Yeah, to say the least. All right, I'm going to take you back to Valentine's Day weekend 2000. I'm on patrol. It's snowing, and we have our snow guns on, our snowmaking equipment. I'm doing a hill check. Oh, it's 10:30, 11 o'clock in the morning, coming down through this area where we have the snow guns on, and I'm just about making my last turn out of that area, coming back onto an open run, when my skis ran across a berm of snow from one of our snow guns. When it first comes out of the guns, it's wet and sticky. It's kind of like hitting a patch of glue. And my skis hit that berm. They stopped dead. I kept going. I executed a full-on pile driver head first into the ground. Now, instantly, it was like a bomb going off in my body. I felt, the metaphor that I use is confetti in a windstorm. It's just whatever was holding body and soul together at that moment just exploded. And I felt myself vaguely tumbling down the mountain. finally came to rest, face down, spread-eagled on the snow, facing back up the mountain. I'm doing a quick stock of my situation, and the first thing that I noticed is I tried to get up and I can't move. Right behind that is the realization that I can't feel anything from the neck down, and hand in hand with that is the recognition that I can't breathe. I am, in effect, dying there on the mountain. I look up, and of all things, I see my dad standing there. Now, this is a really unusual sight to begin with, because Dad was not a skier, and he'd also been dead for 7 years. And I assumed that he was there to guide me across to the other side. Somehow the words came out of my mouth. I wasn't breathing, so I didn't actually speak, but I said, "What do I do now?" Meaning, what do I do to join you higher on the mountain, wherever it is you are? And he looks at me and says, "Just breathe." And right at that moment, I looked down and I noticed that my chest was beginning to rise and fall again on its own. And believe me, breathing beats the hell out of the alternative. I looked up to say thanks to my dad, and well, he was gone. Now the boys start to show up at the scene, and let me put this in quick context for you. We have 150 patrollers associated with our hill on a busy weekend when we might have 8,500 skiers and boarders on the hill. We have about 35, maybe 40 patrollers there for the day. And of that group, of that 30 or 40 out of 150, randomly, right, these are the six guys that show up to my rescue. I want to name them real quick because yeah, I always give them respect and props when I do. Ed, Chuck, Alex, Josh, Scott, and Rick, my boys, you did a hell of a job that day. So they come down with all the equipment, the backboard, the C-collar, the oxygen, and, you know, basically at this point, I can't move, I can't feel. I'm what we call freight in technical terms. And they start to roll me over onto the backboard for the ride down the hill. Now, right at this moment, this is no exaggeration, the clouds parted overhead, and a brilliant shaft of diagonal light shot through the clouds and illuminated us there at the scene. And right at that moment, the boys went off book. They did something that's not in our patrol manuals. I know, I've been back and checked every edition I could get my hands on, and it's not in there. What they did is they put their hands on me and they prayed. Now, Eddie was a minister, and Chuck and Alex were his deacons. The other three guys, devout Christian men, all top-drawer patrollers, virtually all paramedics, that level of skill. But they turned to a higher source for this occasion, and they put their hands on me, and they prayed. They prayed that I would be healed, that my healing would forever be a demonstration of God's love, compassion, and will for me in my life and in this world, and that I would forever be a witness to that. Now, as they're praying, all my fear left me. I suddenly realized that something was happening that was a lot larger than I was, something in which I was only playing a part, and I sort of signed the contract at that point that whatever that part was, whatever Spirit wanted me to do, I was willing to do, no matter what it was. And it wasn't any thought of, oh, you know, take my pain away, or, you know, it was not selfishly motivated. It's just I realized that I was part of a larger tapestry. And so they get me ready for the ride down the hill, and they reach the point in the scenario where it's time to strap me to the backboard. And as they brought my right hand in across my chest, it thumped across my chest, and I said, "I feel that." Mm. Same thing with my left hand. They brought it in, I thumped across my chest, and I feel that. Not like I just felt it right now. I actually rapped on my chest as I was telling you that.
yeah.
But it was a, you know, like through a mattress or through thick padding, you know, really far away, distant, but still there. And so they wrapped me up for the ride down the hill, get me down the hill to the ambulance. They couldn't fly me out, which would have been our normal method for extricating someone in my condition. So I spent 7 hours at Big Bear Community Hospital. Got the first tests and prognosis and diagnosis of my condition. And I was diagnosed with a 3-level spinal cord contusion, triple process fracture of the vertebrae and what's called incomplete quadriplegia and deep cord syndrome. In a word, I was a mess. The doctor came in, young guy, and this is the physician that attends all of the major trauma cases that come off our two mountains up there. And between the two mountains, we'll have 17,000 skiers and riders on the hill. And he sees them all. He comes to me and he says, look, I know you're a patroller, so I know I can be straight with you. I'm not going to sugarcoat this in any way. We don't know yet. We'll just have to wait and see if you're ever going to be able to walk again. And I looked at him. I was secure in the knowledge that I was being cared for by a power greater than our local emergency room, Doc. And I said, Doc, you have no idea who you're dealing with. Anyway, they wrapped me up, took me down by ambulance to Loma Linda Hospital. It's a howling rainstorm. Loma Linda is the premier trauma center in Southern California. And I'm getting pulled out of the back of the ambulance by the paramedics. And I look up at one of these guys and say, you know, rain falling on my face. And I say, it feels like I'm being baptized. And the guy looks down at me and smiles and said, brother, I think you've already been baptized.
This is so phenomenal. So these things, all the progression that you're going through here is absolutely extraordinary.
Oh, wait, it gets better, Wendy. You're going to love this next part. So they took me to, you know, I was in critical care unit at Loma Linda. And, you know, I've got gang members on one side and gunshot victims on the other. And, you know, these were my roomies over there. And I start to have a parade of visitors, my family, my friends, my loved ones, and a whole lot of my fellow patrollers from the Hill, including the guys I just mentioned, all came to see me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they would come in with these looks of just horror and trepidation on their face, like the worst thing happened to one of our own. And they'd come in and find me in my bed just sitting up, all lit up. And I call it a combination of spiritual epiphany and morphine sulfate, okay?
Okay.
And I start to tell them the story of what happened on the Hill. And, you know, what's come to be known as the miracle on the mountain. And as I'm telling the story, I would see the change come over them. They'd go from these, you know, just looks of just horror to you know, where they understood that something miraculous was happening and, you know, that we were all part of it. And I would see them, you know, when they'd get ready to leave, they'd just be all lit up. They'd be inspired by the story itself. And so I learned that the story itself had power, and I told it a lot. About a week or so later, the chief of neurosurgery and about 15 of his residents gather around my bed in a horseshoe, and they're looking at me like I'm some kind of strange lab experiment. And the chief doc says, I've been over your case, and I'm recommending a three-level spinal cord, spinal fusion to take the pressure off your spine and speed your recovery. And I looked at him, and I said, Doc, I know you're making the right medical call here, and if our positions were reversed, I'd be saying the same words to you. But I got to tell you, something extraordinary is happening here. And
hold
I want to see how my own recovery... Go ahead.
Doug, hold on, because this is a good place to stop. We have to take a break for the news anyway, okay? So
sure.
You're talking with a doc here, and this is when it gets serious. So
yeah.
I love this one. All right, we're talking with Doug Hayes.
Right.
The book is The Touch. We're going to come back after the news, and he's going to tell us what he told the doc and his minions. Next.
His minions.
On Wendy's Coffee House Talk Radio, KCMO. Wendy's Coffee House on Talk Radio KCMO, continuing to build the archive library. Got several shows in there now. One of them is Connecting with Coincidence, Dr. Bernard Weitman. He talks about how coincidences may have a lot more in common than we realize, and we might be able to actually connect those a little bit better. The word telepathy factors into the equation. Find out more with Dr. Bernard Weitman on Wendy's Coffee House. Check it out in the archives at wendyscoffeehouse.com.
Unchained. unwind at Rico's for lunch. Enjoy classic, tasteful Italian cuisine in a unique hideaway at the southeast corner of College and Quivira. Ask about our daily lunch specials or enjoy a wood-fired pizza with a specialty salad. Our delicious lunch menu is complemented by a global wine selection, including 25 varietals served by the glass. Full menu featured at ricoskc.com. Join us for lunch weekdays at Rico's.
CBS News Update.
Completely flooded, and I've never flooded before.
Where is all this water supposed to go?
Deadly floodwaters in Louisiana, worst in memory.
Nobody was ready for it. We didn't think this rain was coming like this. Even in Katrina, we didn't have this.
A meets City Police Chief Jerry Tribona there. CBS's Omar Villafranca in nearby Hammond, Louisiana.
The weather turned deadly just north of Baton Rouge. A 68-year-old man was killed when he was swept away while trying to escape the rising waters. Nearly 80 roads have been closed, and officials are telling drivers to stay off the roads.
It is a state of emergency in Louisiana.
Right now, flash flood watches are in effect for most of Louisiana. There are also some flash flood watches for far southwest Mississippi and southern Mississippi.
It's meteorologist David Roth with high temperature warnings as well.
105 to 110, that would be basically from Washington, D.C., Philadelphia, all of Delaware to New York.
KCMO weather from KCTV 5.
The forecast this weekend looks great for everything outdoors. Lots of sunshine. We're not worried about rain this weekend. Temperatures both Saturday and Sunday morning start in the 60s, afternoon highs in the mid to upper 80s. I'm KCTV 5 Chief Meteorologist Chris Suchan.
Ready for a corny adventure in Weston? At the Farmer's House Market Corn Fest, August 13th, you can eat corn, count corn, and toss corn. Along with the duck races and delicious barbecue, there's corny food and entertainment. The fun continues with Second Saturday in downtown Weston at the Main Street Galleria Dinner Theater's performance of Maserella, a comedy featuring the ongoing saga of Maisie and her witness protection misadventures. Visit the WestonMo.com event calendar or download the new Weston mobile app for details.
When a nightlight speaks and only you can understand it, do you listen? Or pretend that your imagination is merely playing tricks? Talking to Nightlights is a revitalizing spiritual guide that follows a woman's inspirational journey to learn the power that can be harnessed by losing fear and suspending disbelief. Available now on Kindle and paperback at Amazon.com.
Stop being drained by energy vampires. A full energy audit from Eric's Energy will expose the pesky problems plaguing your home. Weatherization, insulation, and other energy-saving technologies installed by experienced, reliable technicians will drive a stake through the heart of what's tormenting you. Call 816-537-5100 or visit us at ericsenergy.com. 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 Garlic optional. Give a gift that helps feed a city. The Giving Grove helps communities grow, harvest, and share healthy food by planting fruit trees, nuts, and berries at local Kansas City schools, churches, and in low-income underserved neighborhoods. To date, The Giving Grove has planted nearly 1,500 fruit and nut trees, which will provide over 180 tons of fresh food each year over the life of these trees. You can help by planting a tree. A donation of $50 pays for the tree, supplies, and community education needed for caring of the trees. Visit givinggrove.org to donate your tree.
Listen up, Kansas City. Dave Ramsey here. I'm excited to announce that for the first time ever, the Smart Money Tour featuring New York Times number one best-selling author Rachel Cruze and me. We're headed back. That's right. We're going to be in Kansas City on October 20th. If you're tired of living paycheck to paycheck and you're wondering what you're going to do when retirement comes around, well, you can find the answers at this one-night event. It's time to live more and worry less. Just visit DaveRamsey.com and reserve your Smart Money seats today.
FM 103.7 and AM 710.
It's outrageous. Shame on you.
KCMO, Kansas City's most stimulating talk. KCMO. FM 103.7 and AM 710.
It's outrageous. Shame on you.
KCMO, Kansas City's most stimulating talk.
Wendy's Coffee House, KCMO Talk Radio. My guest today, Doug Hayes. And this is a miracle on the mountain, but it didn't stop there. Right now, we're going back into that moment when the doc came in with his
acolytes? I don't know. It's when you're in that residency stage, it's like everything is super important, and you're getting ready to tell the doc something. What did you say?
Right. Well, essentially, as I said. I said, Doc, I know that you're making the right medical call here. If our positions were reversed, I'd be telling you the same thing, but something truly extraordinary is happening, and I want to see how my own recovery progresses before I would consent to allowing you to cut open my neck and staple my spine together. And he looks at me like I've just disrespected him, and his entourage, I can see kind of looks travel between them like I've just told the Oracle of Delphi to screw off.
Oops.
Which, in effect, I had. Mm-hmm. And they file out of the room. And within the hour, a nurse shows up with a clipboard and sticks it in my face and said, "What hospital do you want to go to?" Well, I had no idea. So I spun my finger around in the air, literally spun it around in the air, dropped it on the page, came up with Daniel Freeman Memorial Hospital in Inglewood, California. Now, I didn't know it at the time. It's just another one of those flashes of spirit kind of lighting the way. Daniel Freeman had the second-rated spinal care unit in North America, second only to Johns Hopkins on the East Coast. And so we're traveling through a howling rainstorm in the ambulance. It's about a four-hour trip from Loma Linda to Daniel Freeman. And by the time I get there, I'm in just a world of screaming hurt. They brought me upstairs, gave me the best room in the house. Nurse Gina came in and gave me a pain shot, made it all go away for a while. And now I'm entering this sort of a longer-term state of grace. My eyes are open. My heart is open in a way that I've never known before. I had this sense of just being spiritually connected and helped and, just treated beautifully. In the realm of spirit was extraordinary, indescribable. The words don't go far enough. And I'm praying and meditating a lot. And I'm out in the garden. They have this amazing garden outside Daniel Freeman, a couple of acres, and these green rolling lawns and these gigantic 100-year-old banyan trees overhead. And, the rain is breaking and the light is streaming through the banyans. And I'm sitting out in the garden with my friend Vicky. Now, Vicky and I have known each other since we were kids, teenagers, and her husband, Michael, had also been one of my dearest friends, had died 5 years earlier from melanoma. I will go on record as saying that is one raging bitch of a disease.
Mm-hmm.
I watched it in Michael's last year of life just tear him apart, tear Vicky apart. Their timeless love was in ruins. There was so much rage and pain and hostility and just madness in that household. And when Michael died, it was a terrible tragedy. One of my best friends in his 40s, dying before his time. But in some ways, it was just a tremendous relief to all of us. And a complicated time, let me tell you.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sitting out in the garden with Vicky, telling her the story of the miracle on the mountain, and I get to the part of the story where the guys are laying their hands on me. And I say, "Vicky, I know that there are angels in this world and that some of them wear red jackets with white crosses on them. And I now know that there are six angels that I can name," meaning the six guys on the hill. And right at that point in the conversation, I had the feeling that someone else had joined us. And I looked at Vicky and I said, "Vicky, there's one more angel, and it's Michael, and he's here." And for the next half hour or so, I had the experience for the very first time of channeling a conversation between Vicky and Michael on the other side. Their words are not important. They're only for them. But what is important is that they got to clear all of that debris from their last year together. They got to forgive themselves and forgive each other. They got to say, "I love you," one more time. And after about a half an hour, I snapped out of it like somebody flipped on a light switch. And I look at Vicky, and she's sitting across from me at this little funky wooden picnic table. And she's got, makeup runs streaming down her face. And mm-hmm. if I was wearing makeup, I would have had the same thing.
Yeah.
And she looks at me and says, "Do you know what just happened?" And I said, "Yeah, I do, but I don't understand it. I don't have a context for it. Nothing like this has ever happened before." And we hug, and she goes on her way, and I go back up to my room. And a little bit later, I'm getting ready for bed, and Michael shows up in my room again. And it's not an apparition like I saw my dad on the mountain, but just this energy, this presence. And he tells me something, very specific he wants me to tell his wife. It was so specific, I thought, okay, maybe I'm just crazy, which on any given day is a possibility. So I went to sleep that night, carried it all the next day. Finally, as I'm getting ready for bed the next night, I picked up the phone and gave Vicky a call. I said, Vic, Michael came to see me again last night, and he wants me to tell you something. And it's very specific. He wants me to tell you to reread the letter that he wrote you when the two of you first found out that he was terminal, the one you keep in the box under the bed.
That's specific.
Yeah, and she says, she lost it on the phone. She goes, oh, my God, I know exactly the letter you mean. I do keep it in a box under the bed. I haven't been able to read that letter for years, but when I got home last night after what happened in the garden, I pulled that letter out and reread it again for the very first time. Now, this was like the universe saying to me, hello, just in case you think any of this is a coincidence, start paying attention. So I did. Next day, I'm out in the garden again, and I'm in my wheelchair, and I'm holding my hands up to the light streaming through the banyan trees, and I say, if it's possible for a group of guys to just show up on a mountain and transmit this healing energy to me, why couldn't I do that for someone else? And the voice I was listening to in the garden said, what makes you think you can't? And I just went, oh. I spun my wheelchair around, went back inside, got on the elevator, come out of the elevator on the second floor. There's my friend Pat sitting there. All right. Pat is a 300-pound black Baptist woman. She is the very definition of an earth mother. She's one of the first people I met when I got to Daniel Freeman, told her my story, and immediately she just threw her arms around me and held me close and started praying. And it was just extraordinary. I mean, one of the most profound human experiences I've ever had. And we became lifelong friends at that moment. So I said, come on, Pat, I need a witness. And the two of us, she's on one of those little rascal scooter things, and I'm in my wheelchair, and we both wheel into Macy's room.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah.
Macy is another ancient black woman. She's about 85 years old. Macy can't walk, hasn't been able to walk since she came to the program. She's got bed sores up and down her body. She can't sleep. She won't eat. She's right at the point where they're about to flush her out of that program and send her off to a facility, or God's waiting room, as we used to call it.
Yeah.
And we wheel into her room. Now, let me just set the room for you. Macy's in a double room, and the front of the room is always dark. The only light in the room is the little bedside lamp by her bed, and casts kind of this little pool of light around her. And, you know, you look back into the room, and there's Macy kind of shriveled up like a raisin on a marshmallow. And Pat and I wheel in and come up on either side of her bed. I say, Macy, I've been out in the garden again, and God told me he was going to allow me to heal people by putting my hands on them. And she looks at me and says, oh, would you put your hands on me, please? And I said, well, that's kind of what we're here for. And before I know it, we're starting to roll up her nightgown. I said, whoa, wait a second. Let's not roll it up too far. I don't want to put my hands on too much. And Macy cracks up, and Pat cracks up, and we go to work. And now, I didn't have any technique. I do now, by the way, but I didn't have any then. And so I just kind of went with what the boys on the mountain had done for me and, you know, prayed that Macy would be healed and that her healing would forever be a demonstration of God's love, compassion, and will for her, and that she would forever be a witness to that. Now, Pat, for her part, she's a professional prayer. And she is just filling the room with just like music and song and, you know, exclamations of devotion and hallelujah. I mean, it was just full on. And for a half an hour or so, we just filled that room with the radiance and the light and the glory and the power of spirit. And about a half an hour into it, I click back on again. And again, just like someone's flipped a switch, and I'm totally exhausted and drained, and I say, ladies, it's been amazing, but I got to go to bed. So I wheeled myself back into my room, climbed into my bed, went to sleep for the night, got up the next morning, hit physical therapy. I'm coming out of physical therapy, and there's Pat sitting on her scooter. And we kind of wheel up together. We're like debriefing about last night. And all of a sudden, we both hear, "There he is." And we both turn, and here comes Macy walking down the hall with her physical therapist, who's like white as a ghost. And she says, "There he is, the power of Christ done come through Doug, and I can walk again today."
Okay.
Now, I don't know about you, but these are words that will change your life.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Hold on. Another break.
Got
Doug
pay the
Hayes.
Rent. I understand.
Thank you. The touch. This is an extraordinary story, and it's not just about what happened to him. It's what he can help you connect with. Next break. Stick around. Wendy's Coffee House.
Lights flickering, feeling an occasional draft. Afraid to go to the basement because it smells too ghastly. Let Eric's Energy do a whole house energy assessment to locate the energy draining skeletons in your closet. Install quality conventional solar, geothermal, or other energy saving technologies for a happy, comfortable home. Call 816-537-5100 or visit us at ericsenergy.com. ericsenergy.com. That's ericsenergy.com.
Relax and enjoy a peaceful small-town summer day in historic Weston. Stroll the streets, listen to music, and explore one-of-a-kind shops with handmade goods crafted by local Weston artists. Hungry? Thirsty? You'll find everything you need, from comfort food to four-star dining. Pubs and pizza, homemade bread and pie. Summers are made for fun in Weston. Check out westonmo.com for our special events calendar.
Wendy's Coffee House on Talk Radio KCMO, continuing to build the archive library. Got several shows in there now. One of them is Connecting with Coincidence, Dr. Bernard Weitman. He talks about how coincidences may have a lot more in common than we realize, and we might be able to actually connect those a little bit better. The word telepathy factors into the equation. Find out more with Dr. Bernard Weitman on Wendy's Coffee House. Check it out in the archives at wendyscoffeehouse.com.
At New Horizon Ranch, we believe that every child is capable of greatness. Over the last 10 years, unique programs, dedicated volunteers, and horse partners have helped children and adults of all ages improve physical strength, relational, and cognitive skills. Sometimes it's reading to our miniature horses, and sometimes it's riding. But it's always therapeutic and educational. Learn more about what we do and how you can get involved at newhorizonranch.org.
Give a gift that helps feed a city. The Giving Grove helps communities grow, harvest, and share healthy food by planting fruit trees, nuts, and berries at local Kansas City schools, churches, and in low-income underserved neighborhoods. To date, the Giving Grove has planted nearly 1,500 fruit and nut trees, which will provide over 180 tons of fresh food each year over the life of these trees. You can help by planting a tree. A donation of $50 pays for the tree, supplies, and community education needed for caring of the trees. Visit givinggrove.org to donate your tree. Next time on Wendy's Coffee House, when the horses whisper, what do readers say? 5 stars. Great, interesting, even fascinating, as I hope it can be true. Another 5 stars, a must read by all horsemen and everyone. And 5 stars again, a marvelous, profound read, whether you love horses or not. Dr. Rosalind Bird fell off a horse, and then she could hear them. How does that work? Let's hear her story next time on Wendy's Coffee House. You can follow along on the blog at wendyscoffeehouse.com.
Carson in the Morning.
Jim Bohannon, nationally syndicated talk show host, son of the great state of Missouri. Jim, how you doing, man?
I'm good, sir. I'm good. This is going to be a very strange year, but at least we know the glass ceiling has been cracked.
Yes, and by the way, that crack will forever be known as Hillary's crack, and people will refer that. It'll be in textbooks everywhere.
That's right.
Donald Trump seemed to be acting a little more presidential until he started going after Ted Cruz again Friday.
Yeah.
Appears to have kind of let that go a little bit.
You know, Donald, I mean, he is so easily distracted. You don't think that the Clinton people haven't noticed? All we have to do is bait Donald, and he'll jump off message in an instant.
Yeah.
I mean, he is handed the issue of a lifetime. The FBI says Hillary couldn't even get a security clearance and she wants to be commander-in-chief, even though they didn't want to indict her. But the damage was overwhelming. And so Trump probably says, hey, that's Saddam Hussein. He was really tough on terrorists. Donald, do you want to be president or don't you?
Carson in the Morning, weekday morning 6 to 10.
Listen up, Kansas City. Dave Ramsey here. I'm excited to announce that for the first time ever, the Smart Money Tour featuring New York Times number one best-selling author Rachel Cruze and me. We're headed back. That's right. We're going to be in Kansas City on October 20th. If you're tired of living paycheck to paycheck and you're wondering what you're going to do when retirement comes around, well, you can find the answers at this one-night event. It's time to live more and worry less. Just visit DaveRamsey.com and reserve your Smart Money seats today.
Kansas City's most stimulating talk.
I never dreamed that any mere physical experience could be so stimulating.
KCM.
Oh!
KCMO.
Wendy's Coffee House, KCMO Talk Radio. If you miss any of this, of course, you can listen to the podcast. Check it out on either the KCMO website or wendyscoffeehouse.com. I'll also do a recap of the news headlines and all that we've talked about today with Doug Hayes, author of The Touch. A couple of comments from the endorsements. The Touch is more like a healing than a book. That's from Larry Dossey, who says, thanks, Doug, for showing the way. And then we've also got another comment here from a couple of doctors. Healing is the application of loving to the parts inside that hurt. And that really happened when you did this with Macy. Was it Macy?
Macy, yeah.
And that's incredible. And she's now, you've been identified as a healer. But beyond that, you go into full swing into, okay, I got to see what's going on. And so now when
absolutely.
You've got grandmaster, a kung fu grandmaster, you've got a qigong master, and you also have somebody else who's basically a spiritual master. Is it Dr. Cam Yuen?
Dr. Cam Yuen, yeah. The tiger, as I know him. And in fact, I just want to backtrack for a second and just share that it's important to note that I really had nothing to do with Macy's healing. That all took place as a function of her relationship with spirit. All I did was to facilitate a conversation or a process, if you will. Yes, I did then begin a course of 16 years of study, which brings us to 2016. I went back to school, finished my bachelor's at UCLA in psychology, and then got my master's in spiritual psychology at University of Santa Monica. And I have been through a lineage, as you just pointed out, of masters and teachers from various traditions, Qigong, Tai Chi, Kung Fu, and we work with breath and light and harmonic resonance. The system I've developed over the years is known as ROM healing, which stands for Radiance Aesthesia Method. And it's all covered in the book, step by step. And it's also important to note that really anybody can learn these techniques for self-healing and for facilitating healing in others. I liken the learning curve to chess. You can learn the moves in an hour and spend a lifetime mastering the game.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where I am along the continuum. My first real teacher in this form, Dr. Yuen, used to say, when we first start doing this work, we do a lot to achieve minimal results. As we progress, we begin to do less and less to achieve more and more. Finally, as we approach mastery, we achieve our most dramatic results by doing nothing at all. And I kind of rail against the term healer because, as I said, I don't do any healing. You know, spirit does the work. We just show up for the meeting. So there's actually a short passage from the book I'd like to read, if that's appropriate.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, cool. Yes, it is possible to analyze, deconstruct, devalue, and invalidate these experiences. Some of us live our entire lives doing this automatically, usually out of fear, unable to open ourselves to an expanded conception of what's really going on. This work, however, asks us not to do that. It asks us instead to continue opening ourselves to it, to offer ourselves as conduits for it, to learn to trust and rely on our intuition, our empathy, our natural knowing. It asks that we lift ourselves beyond a linear interpretation of reality, to embrace an expanded definition of ourselves. It asks us to live and work in the realm of what's possible, to accept that we are spiritually much greater than we pretend to be. Maybe we're a lot farther down this wormhole than we realize. As mathematical cosmologist Brian Swim articulates, 14 billion years of evolution and we're the latest model. Suppose we allow that we are interdimensional beings united by a living energy field that is both intelligent and compassionate. As beings, we are organized elemental expressions of that unified energy, microcosms of the totality, essentially connected to one another across countless expressions and emanations. We are in a constant state of interaction with these other expressions of ourselves, which exist simultaneously in alternate vibrational states. We sometimes call them ascended masters, angels, guides, or beings of light. These relationships exist along a spectrum that includes higher and lower frequencies, which could roughly be translated to mean higher and lower states of consciousness. Our current physical manifestation, the one defined by our point of view relative to our senses, resides somewhere along the spectrum of our total experience, neither at what we call the top or the bottom. It's probably inaccurate to perceive it in any sort of linear arrangement, since it's probably better expressed as a continuum. But all of those vibrational states affect us right here, right now. The mathematics for these interdependent relationships exist, we just haven't mastered them yet. Theoretical physics is lighting the way. In terms of the mind's influence over physical reality, our best science may still be like apes throwing bones at the sky. The perception that we are separate from each other, or from the source that animates us, is an illusion. We interact and influence each other at all levels, all the time. As we deepen into this work, as we relinquish our sense of control and simply allow, we learn to accept the improbable as routine and the impossible as just another opportunity for growth. This process is always revealing, always surprising, never boring. It will take you places you might never have imagined. It has most assuredly done that for me.
Awaken Your Inner Healer workshops. Are you doing those? You're traveling across America. We've got a wrap here. I just want to give you a plug.
Oh, great. Yeah. I am, in fact. I'll be in Mountain View, California, mid-October, October 21st and 22nd at East West Bookshop, doing a presentation on Saturday night and then a full-day workshop on Sunday. I encourage anybody who wants to make the trek from Kansas City to come out to California and join us. It promises to be a trip. Right. We are also setting up workshops across the United States, as you say, right now.
Yeah, that's the deal. Okay, I'm putting a plug in for Kansas City.
All right. I'm in. I'd be happy to come there.
The book is called The Touch, and excuse me for a minute. I'm all verklempt. Anyway, we'll cut that out for the podcast. The Touch.
Listen, I love it when it's real, Wendy.
Hey, thanks. Okay, I appreciate that. DougHaysHealing.com. That's the website. So if you have a chance, check out the website, read the book for sure, and stick around because when he does the tour, you're going to be front row. You want to know this stuff. It's phenomenal. And like he said, everybody has this ability. It's a matter of connecting to it and practice, practice, practice. That's how you get
Absolutely.
It. Hey, Doug, thank you.
I'm feeling the touch, Wendy. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. We're out of here for today. Again, if you missed anything, get on the web and check out wendyscoffeehouse.com. The podcast will be up shortly. Thanks to Mark, my producer. He makes that happen. And thank you for listening. Check out the Perseids tonight. If you can't see it in person, check it out at NASA. Till next time, stay curious.